E Cristo Cristo abiti lei, sono di lotti volante solamente non me. A me stesso sono di Dio, a me stesso sono di Dio, a me stesso sono di Dio, a me stesso sono di Dio. Where did you get this little kirtaniya from? She likes kirtan so much. Yeah?
Would you leave the home and then see Caesar's?
Huh?
Would you in the home?
Uh-huh.
She sees us and
yeah. She's inclined. Also a musician. Yeah. She also has mala. Very good. Is that mala?
So can we give sanskars?
Yes. Continuing with the mysterious and amazing pastime. How did you get here? Of Banasura. And actually the chapter is titled The Meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. We read the first part. Now we'll begin the second part of the pastime. In the first part, it was sort of a background of who Banasura is. He was the eldest of the sons of Bali Maharaj. He was possessed so many good qualities, and he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. But yet, attached to his name is the word Asura. Now why? Because first of all, he's born in the family of Asuras, but also he didn't learn how to surrender to Krishna until the end. And if one is not surrendered to Krishna, one is possessed by false ego. And if one is possessed by false ego, regardless of how many other good qualities one has, actually speaking, one is a demon opposed to Krishna, because one is thinking oneself the center of existence, and therefore Krishna becomes the greatest enemy in that sense. And also we know that he's an asura because by his association he converted two powerful personalities into asuras also, who directly fought with Krishna. The first was Bhomasura, who was his neighbor in Pragyotishapur, and Banasura was in Sonitapur. Have you these places in Assam? They're still there. Did you ever hear them? Sonitapur? It's still there. I looked it up last year. And then, and also he converted by his association Vidvid, who was a devotee who fought on the side of Lord Ram in the great war mentioned in the Ramayana against Ravan in Lanka. Vidvid was a great devotee, but then by the association of Banasura, he became a demon. So Banasura was a great demon. And this was again despite his good qualities. So the pastime so described that even though Shiva was quite disgusted with him, and he blessed him with a curse, that your false pride will be removed, and when the flag of your chariot is knocked down by an enemy, and he used the word sama, who is equal to me, but actually there are other meanings of the word sama. It's also with great excellence and exaltedness. as Ma means the goddess of fortune, and Sa means with. So that person who has the greatest of fortune, the greatest of opulences, and who is always with the goddess of fortune herself, that is the Lord Krishna. So Krishna is going to, he predicts that Manasura is going to be defeated by Lord Krishna. And then as we will find out, that Lord Shiva takes the side of Manasura, at least superficially. In any case, here's the pastime, the second part of the pastime, after the introduction of who Manasura is. It's something it's so mysterious, very difficult to penetrate. We just get some hints how to penetrate in it. So this Manasura had a daughter whose name was Usha. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that Usha had a desire to know who her husband was, and Parvati blessed her, saying, who you dream about will be that person on this date will become your husband. So she had a dream about someone very, very wonderful, who was darkish in complexion and whose eyes were like the petals of a lotus. And it wasn't Krishna, and it wasn't Pradyumna, but it was actually the grandson of Krishna, and the son of Pradyumna, whose name was Aniruddha. So we heard about Aniruddha in the previous chapter as well, how he acquired the wife named Rodsana, the daughter of Rukmavati and Pradyumna, who was the granddaughter of Rukmi. So here is Aniruddha again, because now who is Aniruddha? Aniruddha, he is the predominating deity of the mind, and he is the super soul too. But if we think of him as the, anyway, it becomes very interesting when we think in terms of the metaphors that are mentioned here too. So Aniruddha is he's the grandson of Krishna, but he's also the predominating deity of the mind. And we'll see what interesting things come from that as well. So in a dream, Bana's daughter, the maiden Usha, had an amorous encounter with the son of Pradyumna, though she had never before seen or heard of her lover. So this again is going to be a pastime, especially in this part, that's, it sounds in one sense quite mundane, but it actually isn't mundane at all. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes, quoting the Vishnu Purana, "O Brahmana, when Usha, the daughter of Bana, happened to see Parvati playing with her husband, Lord Shambhu, Usha intensely desired to experience the same feelings. At that time, Gauri, Parvati, who knows everyone's heart, told the sensitive young girl, 'Don't be disturbed, you'll have a chance to enjoy with your own husband.' Hearing this, Usha thought to herself, 'But when and who will my husband be?' She was just a little girl. In response, Parvati addressed her once more, 'The man who approaches you in your dream on the 12th lunar day,'" and that means the Dwadasi, Sukla Dwadasi, in the month of Baishak, "will become your husband." Which month is Baishak, approximately? Should become your husband, O Prince. So then Usha awoke from her dream, and she lost sight of him, Aniruddha, who she didn't know who it was, though she had never heard of him or never seen him before. And suddenly she sat up in the midst of her girlfriends. She was staying with so many of her friends, and she began to cry out, "Where are you, my lover?" She was greatly disturbed, and she was embarrassed. Purport. Why was she disturbed? Because it's not there as, like in Vatsalya Ras and Madhurya Ras, there's complete non-ability to mix. But in Sakya Ras and Madhurya Ras, some very intimate friends can take part in the pastime of Madhurya Ras, of Sringara Ras. So in front of all her friends, she called out like this, "Oh, where are you, my lover?" And she became very embarrassed. So coming to her senses and remembering that she was surrounded by her girlfriends, Usha was naturally very embarrassed to have cried out in that way. They all would laugh at her. At the same time, she was disturbed by attachment to the beloved man who had appeared in her dream. And Banasura had a minister named Kumbhanda, whose daughter was Chitraleka. A companion of Usha's, she was filled with curiosity, and thus she inquired from her friend. So they were very, very close. "Who were you searching for?" So what does Chitraleka mean? Chitra means picture, Leka means drawer. So she's the drawer of pictures. So that's what she's going to do. And watch what happens when she draws these pictures. She said first, "Who are you searching for, O fine-browed one? What is this hankering you're feeling?" So, "Until now, O princess, I haven't seen any man take your hand in marriage." So we can say that the Aniruddha, being the predominating deity of the mind, is really, he's the super soul. So, but then the mind, he's the lord of the mind. So Usha said, "In my dream I saw a certain man who had a dark blue complexion. He had lotus eyes, yellow garments, and mighty arms. He was the kind who touches women's hearts." So we also know that every soul in relationship to the Supreme Lord is Prakriti, is female. So everyone is really, every soul is looking for the Lord. And who are you searching for? Chitraleka said. "What is this hankering you're feeling?" So every soul is hankering ultimately. And we accept so many things, temporary, that pass through our hands, that promise satisfaction, but don't give us really the hankering of the soul. Who we can combine with, who we can connect with. So this is the condition of a soul, a fortunate soul. "It is that lover," she says, "I search for. After making me drink the honey of his lips, he has gone elsewhere, and thus he has thrown me, hankering fervently for him, into an ocean of distress. O king, amongst the humans, Chitraleka drew pictures of the Vrishnis, including Surasena, Anakadandubi," who is Anakadandubi? Vasudeva. So this is Chitraleka. She's drawing pictures. And this is exactly the function of the mind. It's sankalpa vikalpa, acceptance and rejection. So the mind is presented with something, and if it conforms to one's mental conception of happiness, of what it wants, it accepts that thing. And if it doesn't conform to the mental conception of what one wants, one rejects that thing. This is sankalpa vikalpa, again, the functioning of the mind. And it's interesting to note that the pleasure ability of a particular object is not exactly in the object. It's actually in the mind. And the relationship between the mind and the object, it really exists more in the mind than it does in the object. There's so many examples of this. But when we see sewer water in Vrindavan, we become horrified. And when a Vrindavan pig sees sewer water, he becomes ecstatic in his own pig-like way. Or because for him, sewer water is an object of sense pleasure. So it's the same object, but because he has one kind of a mind, he sees it in one way, and because we have another kind of a mind, we see it in another way. But it's not, it's just the seeing from the, it's something that exists in the mind. So this is the condition of a conditioned soul. And this is what we mean when we say that a conditioned soul is manarete nasito davatovahi, that he's on the mental platform. This is specifically what it means. He's trying to enjoy the things appears to be of this world, but actually he's just trying to enjoy the mental images he has of his that will give him pleasure. So another example is like, say if there is a beautiful woman, and there's a man who looks, he will look at that beautiful woman in one way, and if that beautiful woman is the mother of a 6-month-year-old baby, then that baby will look at the beautiful woman in a completely different way, and the father of the beautiful woman will look at him in a different way, and maybe the in this day, the employee, if she's works in some store or something, the employee will look at it in one way, and the employer will look at it another way. But it's the same person. And if there's a person who's selling things, he'll look at that beautiful lady in another way as a customer. So the qualities that appear according to our mind, they exist in the object, but actually the qualities exist really in the mind and not in the object. So when a particular mind views an object, it places it in different categories, and the main categories are pleasurable or non-pleasurable, desirable and non-desirable. So that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, Itsa Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata, at the end of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the methodology that Maya uses affecting the mind to bewilder the living entities. That's the meaning of that verse. That all living entities are bewildered by Maya affecting their minds. When we say that Maya affecting their minds, we mean what causes Maya to affect the minds is the false ego, thinking oneself the enjoyer. So all this is going on in the mind. It doesn't go on in the world, but in Maya, the mind is thinking that this is the process of enjoyment, of pleasure. So Chitraleka is going to perform the function of the mind for Usha. And in this particular case, the object of enjoyment, of pleasure, is the true object of enjoyment and pleasure. And that's Aniruddha, who is actually the lord of the mind. So he is the true lord of the mind. Although the mind doesn't like to think of the lord as the lord of the mind. Savasya chaham ride sanavisto mata smitam jnanam upanam cha. So that's actually the Lord. He's giving all things facilities through the mind to the soul. So the sankalpa, so Chitraleka is performing this function. So what she does is she drew pictures of the Vrishnis. So we have a concept of enjoyment, and then when we see in our mind and impose it on a particular object that we see externally, then we see it as either pleasurable or we want it or we don't. So she, Chitraleka, performing the function of the mind, drew pictures of the Vrishnis, including Surasena, Anaka, Dundabi, Balaram, Krishna. And when Usha saw the picture of Pradyumna, she became bashful and she covered her head because because she had, even though Pradyumna was so beautiful and so wonderful, but because she had a relationship with him, because he was the father of her lover, so therefore because the two rasas don't mix, parental rasa and conjugal rasa, so she became shy and she covered her head. She became bashful. She thought, this is my father-in-law. So even though Pradyumna was so beautiful, it's not just, but the mood was not, can't be one of enjoyment. So she became bashful. And then, when she saw Aniruddha's picture, she bent her head down in embarrassment, smiling, she exclaimed, he's the one, he's the one. She began to cry with joy. Purport says, Avi Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur said. And then Chitraleka, as Vishwanath said, she wrote Aniruddha's name above the picture. Then Chitraleka, endowed with mystic powers, recognized him as Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha. My dear king, she then traveled by the mystic skyways to Dwarka, the city under Lord Krishna's protection. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also describes how she couldn't actually enter into Dwarka because it was protected, completely protected. And what was she going to do? She was going to steal away Aniruddha. So she couldn't actually enter in. So she got some blessing here. According to the Harivamsa, Narada Muni instructed her in the mystic art of entering, how to enter. So one needs how to enter into the association of the Lord, of the Super Soul. One needs the instructions and blessings of a great soul like Narada Muni. And then Vishwanath also says that some authorities also say that Chitraleka is herself an expansion of Yoga Maya. So it takes really the internal energy to bring the soul in contact with the Supreme Soul. And that internal energy is, of course, based on the heart's desire for service, for serving the Lord. So there, in Dwarka, the city who was under Lord Krishna's protection, that's what the verse says, Krishna Palitam, Dwarakam Krishna Palitam. That it was the city of Dwarka under the protection of Krishna. Then when Usha beheld him, the most beautiful of men, her face lit up with joy. She took the son of Pradyumna to her private quarters, which were forbidden even to see, and there she enjoyed with him. Usha worshipped Aniruddha with faithful service. Her enjoyment came from worshipping her Lord. And how did she do it? Usha worshipped Aniruddha with faithful service, offering him priceless garments, along with garlands, fragrances, incense, lamps, sitting places, and so on. She offered him beverages, all types of food, and sweet words. So it's almost like she was worshipping a deity. This is exactly how a deity is worshipped. As he thus remained hidden in the young lady's quarters, Aniruddha did not notice the passing of the days, for his senses were captivated by Usha, whose affection for him ever increased. So actually, Aniruddha stayed there, completely immersed in his relationship with Usha for 6 months. The 4 months of Chaturmasya and then 2 more months as well. He was so captivated. So the female guards eventually noticed, because this is no man could enter there. So the female guards eventually noticed unmistakable symptoms of romantic involvement in Usha, who, having broken her maiden vow, was being enjoyed by the Yadu hero and showing signs of conjugal happiness. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the main sign was that she was so happy. The guards went to Banasura and told him, "O king, we have detected in your daughter the kind of improper behavior that spoils the reputation of a young girl's family." Here's the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the word bhata as female guards, whereas Jiva Goswami defines it as eunuchs and others. Grammatically, the word can function both ways. The guards feared that if Banasura found out about Usha's activities, well, he's going to be so angry, and if he found out through another source, who's going to get into trouble? The guards will get into trouble because he's going to think they were either negligent or they were allowing it to happen. So therefore, they feared that he would punish them, and thus they personally informed Banasura that his young daughter was no longer innocent before they would get into trouble themselves. They told Banasura what was happening, and then they said, "We have been carefully watching over her. We never left our posts, O master, so we cannot understand how this maiden, whom no man can even see, has been corrupted within the palace." So from the moral point of view, and Banasura, we're going to see, was so angry, it makes complete sense. I mean, what nerve in his own palace? He's a powerful person. He's good. He's a devotee of Lord Shiva.
He's a little proud.
We're just saying from that side. Yeah, he's a bit foolish. But he's an asura. The real point. But from just a material point, he's correct. I mean, what father wouldn't become angry? So the acharyas explain that the word anapayibi can mean either never going away or never deluded. So the guards were saying that we never went away from our post, and we remained there focused. If we take the alternative reading, duspreshaya, instead of duspreshaya, the guards referred to Usha as she whose wicked girlfriend has been sent on a mission. That's Chitralekha. So Banasura, he was very agitated to hear of his daughter's corruption. And Banasura rushed at once to the maiden's quarters. Agitated means what? Very disturbed. And as he got there, he's becoming more and more angry. And there, when he got to the maiden's quarters, he saw the pride of the Yadus, Aniruddha. Yadu Udvahan, the most eminent of the Yadus. He saw Aniruddha. And what was he doing? So Banasura saw him. He goes into his daughter's private quarters, which he had made in his palace, and he saw before him Cupid's own son, Aniruddha, who possessed unrivaled beauty, with a dark blue complexion, yellow garments, lotus eyes, and formidable, powerful arms. His face was adorned with effulgent earrings and hair, and also with smiling glances. As he sat opposite his most auspicious lover, that's Usha, playing with her at dice, there hung between his arms a garland of spring jasmines that had been smeared with kumkum powder from her breast when he had embraced her. And Banasura was astonished to see all this purport. Banasura was amazed because the father walks in and he was amazed at Aniruddha's boldness. The prince was calmly sitting in the young girl's quarters playing with Banasura's supposedly unmarried daughter. In the context of the Vedic culture, this was an unbelievable thing to witness. So he becomes furious, understandably so. Seeing Banasura enter with many armed guards, Aniruddha raised his iron club and stood resolute, because he's unlimitedly powerful, ready to strike anyone who attacked him. He stood there with his club. He resembled death personified, holding the rod of punishment. As the guards converged on him from all sides, so they all attacked him, they tried to capture him. Aniruddha struck them just as the leader of the pack of boars strikes back at dogs. Hit by his blows, the guards fled the palace. They ran for their lives with their heads, thighs, and arms shattered. So he was so powerful. But even as Aniruddha was striking down the army of Bana, that powerful son of Bali angrily caught him with the mystic Nagapasha rope. And when Usha heard of Aniruddha's capture, she was overwhelmed with grief and depression, her eyes filled with tears, and she wept. This is the final verse in this chapter. The Acharyas explained that Banasura could not actually capture the powerful grandson of Lord Krishna. However, the Lord's Lila Shakti, or pastime potency, allowed this to happen so that the events described in the next chapter could take place. Now, how Krishna deals with Banasura will be quite amazing. Let's see how far we get. Because his two demon friends, or the ones he preached to and converted into demonhood, he made them from devotees to demons. How did he deal with Banasura? How did Krishna deal with, excuse me, with Bomasura? Anyone remember? He killed him. Quite dead. He killed him. And how did Balaram deal with Vidvid? He killed him. That happened soon in the 66th chapter. But he's not going to kill because of these people's, these two great devotees becoming demons. He's not going to kill Banasura. He's going to treat him quite differently. He's going to bless him, actually.
How is Banasura overpowered any Aniruddha?
I didn't finish that, did I? I almost finished it. The Acharyas explained that Banasura could not actually capture the powerful grandson of Lord Krishna. However, the Lord's Lila Shakti, or pastime potency, allowed this to happen so that the events described in the next chapter could take place. So the next chapters are events because here's where the things really start to turn. Because Banasura was correct to be so upset on a certain level. And we could say, although Aniruddha was somewhat innocent because he was brought there, but who did he have protecting him? He had Krishna protecting him. So to bring this pastime into its completion, the Lila Shakti arranged Aniruddha to be caught so that Krishna will enter into the picture. to the pastor, and so that he could give mercy to Banasura, because after all Lord Shiva had predicted that Banasura is going to meet his match and be defeated. So if we just change the bit of the metaphor a bit, to Aniruddha, it has a connection with Krishna. So even if we think that there's a wrong circumstance going on, from a moral point of view, but if someone is under the protection of Krishna, it doesn't make any difference. If he's a great devotee, then Krishna is always going to be there with him, regardless of if something happens that appears to be inappropriate. And Krishna himself says this with apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyava sadureva. This person is certainly a sadhu, he's only a sadhu. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment on that is quite astounding. How Krishna immediately, this is because there's going to be a wonderful pastime. But this was all sort of background, and then the real things start happening. Now Krishna's going to come. He immediately finds out that Aniruddha is in difficulty, caught by the Nagavas. So Sukadeva Goswami said, O descendant of Bharat, who else got caught by the Nagavas? Huh? Bali Maharaj, yes? So Bali Maharaj's son is wielding it over here. So Sukadeva Goswami said, O descendant of Bharata, the relatives of Aniruddha, not seeing him return, continued to lament as the four rainy months passed, Chaturmasya passed. After hearing from, it must be Narada, the news of Aniruddha's deeds and his capture, the Vrishnis, who worship Lord Krishna as their personal deity, went to Sanitapur. Immediately they went to protect their beloved, the pride of the Yadu dynasty, with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the lead, not like the current leaders who never would enter into a battle for anything. They were right there on the heading of the battle. They were so powerful, unlimitedly powerful, with Lord Krishna and Balaram in the lead, the chiefs of the Satvata clan, Prajumna, Satyaki, Gada, Samba, Sharana, Nanda, Upananda, Bhadra, and others, converged with an army of 12 divisions, Akshohinis, 12 Akshohinis. So in the whole battle of Kurukshetra, there were 18, 12 and 6. So this was a huge army. This was to protect Aniruddha. You like that?
You have mysterious things.
Yes, as they said right in the beginning, this whole thing is very mysterious.
6 months they didn't realize where is he. Nobody worried about him.
No, they didn't say they weren't worried, but they didn't know. Just like when you disappeared, right? No one knew where you were for how many years?
No, but this is Krishna's grandson.
But this is Leela. This is all done by Leela Shakti to increase rasa.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Rasa. Because, and also, how could they, if they knew where he was, what would they do? He was in, what would they do? He was there with his girlfriend. What could they do? They would ruin the rasa. Just imagine you're there with your girlfriend and your father comes and visits you. I mean, what could be more boring than that?
The other one was caught by a fish.
Pradunga.
Yes.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Rukmini is sort of, you know, very unhappy, sad, but still Krishna didn't do much, you know, to alleviate her suffering. He is omniscient, he knows where is he.
You mean Pradumna?
Yeah. But he didn't do that. You know. These are the mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a true father. Why didn't he put her to give us a peace of mind? Imagine how she felt when her grandson, same problem.
His disappearing soul. Anyway, he was already grown up. And grown up boys, they sometimes go away for some months, not a problem. But it's when they're little babies. And Kunti also was lamenting after she put her. She never saw him again until the battle when she found out that was. Karna was her beloved boy.
These are divine arrangements, in fact.
And you know, it's interesting how, in so many, not only religious, but tales of from every culture in the world, there's always that kind of a story: how one child is born, and then he's taken away. And they don't see him for years and years and years, and then he comes back to do something miraculous. So in the Bible, that's what happens to Moses too. But in every culture, there's certain themes that are reoccurring, and this is one of them. He comes back a great hero to reclaim his birthright. Love and Kush also.
Love and Kush.
And also, so many. The king, the daughter of Shakuntala, the son of Shakuntala, who is that?
Bharat.
Yeah, he also liked that. Yeah. There's something.
Dushyanta.
Yeah, that he. Anyway, these things happen, especially in royalty. But Krishna's omniscient.
It's a very powerful, poetic. You know, taste. What rasa is
this? Rasa.
What rasa?
Which rasa?
That's what I'm asking.
Which?
This is kind of disappointment or this sort of like anguish mixed with something that happens that you've given up hope of or loss. Karuna rasa?
Karuna rasa. That's more when, like when Mahaprabhu leaves and Mother Sachi. That's the essence of Karuna Ras. This is so. I think of it as like. When you're, if you're always eating, you take it for granted. But if you're really, really, really hungry, then you really appreciate the food.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're hungry for that association, then it's more relishable when it comes. So that's the essence of our, the essence of spiritual life, to develop some hunger and greed for it. So we tend to perform our spiritual life very mechanically in our chanting, and then we wonder why Krishna reciprocates in a very neutral way to us. And this is the reason, because if we yayatam mam prapadyante, we sort of act mechanically, and so Krishna acts mechanically in his relationship with us because we're acting mechanically in relationship with him. But if our desire is strong and we have deep feelings about Krishna, then Krishna, his desire to be with us increases. Look, immediately, because Aniruddha was the jewel of the Yadu dynasty. And at this time, actually, it doesn't say what Aniruddha was feeling when he was tied up. There's another really amazing one. You'll like this one, Bhakti. When the messenger, this happens a little later in the 70th chapter, the messenger, Jarasandha, had captured many, many kings.
Yes.
And he locked them up, right? So a messenger from the kings comes and says, "We're completely surrendered to you. Please, Krishna, please come and save us." This Jarasandha, he's acting improperly, and you promised to protect always your devotees, and we're completely surrendered to you. So please come and protect us. So, and at the same time, there was Narada Muni came and said that the Rajasuya sacrifice is supposed to be performed, and Yudhisthira wants your presence there. So they thought, which should we do first? There's two requirements. Which one should we do first? And of course, it's especially interesting. I remember we talked about this last year, that in the chapter right before this, in the 69th chapter, when Narada Muni visits Dwarka, he visits all the palaces, and each one he sees Krishna there. So, and here when there's two things, so he's in 16,108 places, and here when there's two things that have to go on, they can't figure out Krishna can't figure out how I could do both at the same time. So he says, Uddhava, you have to help me understand this one. So Uddhava,
Uddhava advises, of course he says,
you're the Supreme Lord, but still you're asking me for advice, so I'll give you advice that you really have to defeat Jarasandha first anyway. Because before Yudhisthira can perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, Jarasandha has to be subjugated, he has to be brought under the control, because he'll never surrender. So he has to be killed anyway, so you should do that first. So Krishna says, oh, this is great. What a clear thinker Uddhava is. so then he brings all his queens and everyone that go from Dwarka to Hastinapur to see Yudhisthira. And then they leave all the queens there, but it describes the entourage. Remember that? How it was used? There were so many. They brought, because there's 16,000 queens, and they all have to be carried in palanquins, and then you have to have the armies to protect them, and then you have to have the cooks, and then you have to have the people who wash the clothes, and then you have to have the people carry the food, and then you have... So there's this huge entourage. And there, so the kings are captured by Jarasandha, and they're waiting while this entourage goes across from Dwarka to Hastinapur. And then Krishna stays in Hastinapur for 3 months before he and Bhim and Arjuna go to kill Jarasandha. So there are these dear devotees who sent a messenger, and they're saying, oh Krishna, we need you, we're in such difficulty, we're dying here. And Krishna says, yes, we should do that first. And then he takes his time. He takes his time before he does what he does things the way he wants to do it. So we could ask, well, why doesn't he do it immediately? And also, I have a whole other long list of things that I would like him to do immediately. Not only rescue the kings, but...
Can you finish that?
Huh? But I'm saying in our own lives...
Yeah.
We have things that, we see a devotee in difficulty or something, and we can't understand Krishna's timing and things. But then if we look at it from the point of view of what the king's consciousness was like, well, they knew that Krishna was coming, but for every day, they didn't know when he was coming. But they knew that Krishna was coming, but they didn't know when. So they were always thinking, when will Krishna come? Maybe he'll come today to save us. So their desire, so day after day after day after day, because they were in difficulty, in a fearful situation, and they were surrendered to Krishna, they were just hoping and praying that this would be the day that Krishna came, would come. And then day after day after day, one day passed, 1 week passed, 20 days passed, 30 days passed, 35 days passed, 38 days passed, 45 days passed, 53 days passed, 56, 57, 58, 70, 80 days passed, 89, and then after 3 months, just that, because when you're in that situation, you either lose hope and lose faith because it's such a great test, or you just know that, oh, today may be the day that Krishna's going to be come, and you're living your life in excited anticipation for Krishna. Now, that's the way we're supposed to perform our devotional service. When will Krishna give me his mercy? And during that time, who knows what they were thinking? Maybe they were thinking, oh, maybe Krishna rejects us because we're not like this, because we didn't always have devotion. We only have devotional service for him and hoping that he comes because of our distress. And maybe he doesn't want to, you know, who knows what they were thinking, what type of introspection. And then they have to think, no, Krishna is very kind and he's all powerful. And even though we still nevertheless have taken shelter of him. And then one day, Krishna comes. And then when he comes, after so much anticipation, so much perseverant, faithful nishtha in service to Krishna, then that taste is so great, because the anticipation is so great, because the lobha, the greed, the need, the desire is great. So therefore, the taste, the relishment is so wonderful.
That they were going to be sacrificed of these kings that he has captured.
Yeah.
They were going to be sacrificed maybe, you know, to some deity or something.
Yeah. And Krishna waited 3 months.
But it wasn't too late.
he hadn't sacrificed them yet.
He seems to, you know.
He hasn't, but he has his own timing.
Well, he is the time.
Yeah. But it's easy to say that about the kings, but when it's happening to us, you know, we think, oh, why? Why does he take so long, you know?
He's not hearing me.
That's what we say. He doesn't like me.
Maybe he's not there.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Jarasandha was. And Bhomasura had the kings, and Bhomasura had the queen, the princesses, and Jarasandha had the kings.
Same kings, of the daughters of the same kings?
What? No. There's no mention of connection that way.
No link with the family of the kings?
No, not at all. So immediately here in this case, immediately the whole Yadu dynasty came. And they converged with an army of 12 Akshohinis and laid siege to Banasura's capital, completely surrounding the city on all sides. So Banasura, he said, you know, what have we done? This boy has done all this, and he's done something improper. But immediately Krishna came with all the armies, and no light way either. And then Krishna's going to explain why at the end. But how did Banasura react? How would any self-respecting asura react, who thought he was the most powerful person in existence? He became angry. they started destroying this city. Immediately, they didn't waste time at all. They started, "You have taken Aniruddha." And they came and destroyed the city. And again, who knows what Narada told them.
You'd also think that he would kill the boy. Just teach him a lesson.
They won't.
I guess he's a Kshatriya, he's not a coward.
Who? Yes. This isn't Kali Yuga. Yeah. They didn't have that Kali Yuga mentality because you're not actually allowed to kill your prisoners ethically. Because they're powerless. Kshatriyas mean you only will fight with someone who's equal to you. And if he's got a bow, you fight with a bow. If he has a sword, you have a. If he's on a chariot, you can fight with a chariot. You don't just throw a bomb when he's. That's what was so heinous about what Aswatthama did to the sleeping children. That's why even Duryodhana was disgusted with him.
If this was a movie on an Air India flight, he would have been running downstairs, right? He would jump out the window and run down fire escapes to get away from the founder. He'd immediately run away.
Who?
The hero.
But they would have a dance, though, of course. In the middle of it, they'd be singing and dancing. Manasura would be singing and dancing. And they'd all be dancing. But depends who the hero is. See, because the Lila Shakti is organizing things so that the hero of all heroes. So who's going? So you can look at it from different points of view. That from the Aniruddha's already shown that he's a hero. But how is he going to feel about Krishna when Krishna comes with all these armies? You know, he's going to. This is, you know, my grandfather is the greatest. Mixed in with his other Kshatriya things. Anyway. It's mysterious and exciting. Not the last time I traveled to Air India, but some time ago there was this. It's so amazing. India is such an amazing place. It's the land of contradictions, because there's one movie about this fellow who. His brother was in the United States, and he had gotten into bad company and into trouble. He was captured, so he called up his elder brother to rescue him, and his elder brother is a policeman. Anyway, that doesn't really fit into the actual hero part of India, but anyway. So he's on the phone, or he calls up his mother, or something like that, and the elder brother hears about it, and he says, "Yeah, I'll come immediately." But he was in difficulty. Why didn't he just remember the name of God? That would have protected him. Where else but India would he would you get that? Huh?
India is very great and mysterious,
though. It's very great, but here's the other side, too. So he's going on, so he immediately gets a plane. He goes to the airport, and of course they have those big x-ray machines? So he somehow or another. There was this girl, the one who's going to eventually marry, so he bumps into her, and they both fall through the x-ray machine together by a quirk. That's also an India movie. Not only remembering the name of God, but... and of course, she's the sister of the one who's captured him, just by chance, too. But anyway, the part I wanted to say is, so this is this urgent thing,
Oh, he's got to go and save his brother. And then they, in between, the plane, you know, takes off, and they're going from India to New York, and it stops. The plane stops in London, and everyone, all the passengers, all the Indian passengers, get out and they start dancing on the wings of the plane. Very mysterious. And the security guards didn't give him any trouble. If you try that, they will give you so much trouble. It's also mysterious why they did not give him trouble.
I didn't think I was terrorist.
Yeah. But if it was, I guess maybe the security guards were also dancing too. Okay, Hare Krishna. At least we laughed a little also in this mysterious pastime.
One question you're saying about how the Vatsalya Rasa and the Madhurya Rasa don't go together. But in modern contemporary times, you often see pictures in wherever you see pictures of very glamorous looking kind of women with their children. Isn't that a mix of the two things?
How old are the children?
Little. You know, there was some picture I saw recently, the child.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Big, and the mother is very glamorous.
Vivacious.
Yeah.
So you don't see her as mother. You're saying
she's underly dressed.
Maybe she's poor, that she can't afford clothing. Maybe it's not her fault.
A lot of makeup.
Huh?
And a lot of makeup.
Maybe she was going to the doll office because she wanted to impress them or something. Who knows? But yeah, everything is confused. Because instead of seeing his mother, because their mood is not mother.
Wasn't there. And the child was only about 5, but was also dressed in fashionable clothes.
Child's mood is not child's there. Now, how at Kali Yuga, everything's upside down. When do you have to be at work tomorrow, Nitai?
Up to me.
How are you? Sick. Where's baby?
Okay.
No interest in story on kirtan. How old is she now?
Maybe 3 in August.
Where is your rumors now? In Los Angeles, it was in Los Angeles a while ago.
He was in Atlanta for the Paniati.
Oh, just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I was to make my way to Mayapur.
You stay in Mayapur for some time?
Yes, I'm making my way to Mayapur. And then this is where he's going to go back to do his therapy.
Where?
Wasn't she already to bring the ACR?
Oh, Los Angeles. Will you be at the Ranagat Rath Yatra this year? When is it?
13th.
And you'll be there?
Yeah.
When are you leaving?
Just 2 days before.
They were planning for him to go to Melbourne for a month.
Yes, nothing.
I'm not confirmed though.
There's a big letter from Bhakti Vasudevaya that if anyone invites him, has to be quite a lot of things involved.
A lot of people have to.
For his care and
everything. For his care, especially therapy, swimming pool, and, you know, especially his 4 servants to be facilitated and everything else. And there's a whole list of things.
Yeah. Need a house?